Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today and if you'd like to talk about it. If you would, well, give us a call right now because the phone lines are open in the U.S. and Canada at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some life issue you're struggling with, a great opportunity to call right now and speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Call now because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I wanted to share a passage today out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's Paul kind of defending his gospel or his ministry there in the city of Corinth. He came in. He was a humble guy. He didn't speak with a lot of eloquence. He didn't have the polish and the poise and that sort of thing. Or at least he didn't showcase that. Yeah. He just came in and gave the word of God very clearly, very plainly, very directly so that people could respond. And he had a reason for that. And this is so important for us to understand. He says in verse 3, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Well, there's the subject matter. That's what we're supposed to talk about. That's who we're supposed to talk about. And that's what we're supposed to talk about. The person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel message. That is the good news. It's a message concerning Christ. I know, for example, in Romans chapter 10, we have the King James Version that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But when you look at the underlying Greek text, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the message concerning Jesus Christ. Yeah. So Jesus is the message, and Paul wanted that to be understood. I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm not here to show you my great oratory skills or anything like that. I just want you to know Jesus and him crucified. And he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Well, that's a phrase talking about humility. He came in humility, recognizing that he was delivering the word of God. This isn't something to be boastful or arrogant about. This is something to understand and to hold it lightly and to know the sacredness and the holiness and the power and the strength of this simple message concerning Jesus Christ. And he says, "My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." It is the message concerning Jesus that contains the power of God unto salvation. So he wanted that demonstration to be a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of the gospel itself, so that, and here's the reason, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So where do we want our faith to rest? And I'm afraid that there are so many people out there that their faith rests on the message of that guy in the pulpit, or that author of that book, or that guy behind a microphone, or that lady behind a microphone.
Right.
Our message or our faith rests in what they say, not in Jesus, not in him being crucified, but in the wisdom of man or in the eloquence of man. Well, Paul did everything in his power to make sure that was not going to be the case for these Corinthians. He wanted their faith to rest in the power of God. He wanted them to know that if God said that through the shed blood of Jesus their sins were forgiven, then they were going to rest in the power of that shed blood. They weren't going to rest in their confession. They weren't going to rest in their church going or attendance records or any of those sort of things. They were going to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, what does man do? Well, we come along and we say some other things. For you to really be forgiven, you need to go to a priest and you need to confess your sins to a priest. Well, if that priest says you're forgiven and you believe it, where is your faith resting? Is your faith resting in the power of God? Is your faith resting in Christ and Christ crucified? No. Forgiveness doesn't come through confession. Forgiveness doesn't come through anything that we do. Forgiveness is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. As the writer of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So as we come to you today through these basic gospel airwaves, we are coming to you with the desire that your faith is going to rest in the power of God, that your faith is going to be connected to Jesus Christ and to him crucified, not to anything that we say, but accept the gospel message itself. That's where we want you to find peace. That's where we want you to find forgiveness, righteousness, and life. Why? Because Jesus is the only one that has those things to offer us, to give to us. And if you've received Jesus, if you've put your full weight of trust in him, then your faith is resting in the power of God.
And that's a great place to rest right there. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, kicking off a brand new week, and we're glad you're with us. 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you. The lines are wide open for you right now. Again, 844-322-2742. You know, friends, wherever you hear or see the Basic Gospel program, we invite you to come to Louisville, Texas for the United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, October 15th to the 17th. We want you to be here. Visit basicgospel.net/united for event information and registration, and come and see and hear and meet two of the finest teachers of our time as they expound on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, United, October 15th through the 17th, right here in our ministry hometown of Louisville, Texas. Again, all the information and registration available at basicgospel.net/united. Well, once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Bob, a question that came in from Facebook or YouTube, I'm not sure which, doesn't really matter, but the question is about righteousness. Can you explain what it means for a Christian in the New Covenant?
Well, yes, I can, and this really ties into what we were talking about at the top of the hour concerning forgiveness. All of us, I think, as human beings, we struggle with fear, we struggle with guilt, we struggle with shame and those sort of things, and we want those burdens to be lifted off. We want forgiveness of sins. Well, God has given us forgiveness of sins. Now, for many years in my own life, I doubted and questioned and wondered if my sins had actually been forgiven. I knew that Jesus died for my sins. I knew that Jesus hung on a cross and he shed his blood for me. And I had responded to that. But then when I got caught up in kind of the struggles of the flesh as a high schooler and a college student, man, I just heard that voice of accusation, and I started questioning, am I a forgiven person? Are these sins that I have committed and seem to continue to commit, are those sins forgiven? And I would pray, and I would confess, and I would plead, and I would beg, and I would do all of those things. But since I was relying on the rituals that I was doing, the formula that I was kind of checking the boxes of, I wasn't sure. Yeah. Why? Because my faith wasn't in the power of God. It wasn't in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It was in what I thought I should be doing, the wisdom of man. Now, when did this all kind of get clarified for me? Well, there was a point in time where, for example, Colossians 2, that entire chapter really kind of turned on the light for me, that I had been made alive in Jesus, and that in being made alive in Jesus, that all my sins had been forgiven. So God wouldn't have made me alive if my sins hadn't been dealt with once and for all. And then you go over into like Romans chapter 4, and we see Paul writing about David, blessed is the man whose sins God doesn't take into account. And he's writing that. He brings that quote in from the Old Testament in a context of righteousness, that we have been given the gift of righteousness. So the fact that we've been made alive together with Christ, the fact that we have been made righteous in the sight of God, means that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, that the forgiveness issue is done, it's over, it's been handled, and we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that enables us to really live out this life that we have to the full. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it to the full." Well, that's what we get to experience, knowing that we've been made righteous, and in knowing that we've been made righteous, that our sins have been totally forgiven. So this new covenant is a covenant of life. That life is given to those who have been forgiven, who have been made righteous, and now we can experience that life to the full.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, we have plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd like for you to come in and speak directly with us right now on this live edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and again, thank you for being here. Once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. And from Philadelphia, question from Ronald. Bob, his question concerns Luke 9:49-50. He says, does this passage, Luke 9:49-50, mean what it says? Those who are not against us are for us. I think that's exactly what it says. Does that mean anyone or no matter who?
Well, let's read the entire passage here, just a couple of verses. John answered, "Master, we saw one casting out demons in your name." Now, that's the key passage there, and that's the key phrase, "in your name." So these people were going out, and in the name of Jesus Christ, they were casting out demons. And John said, we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. John was saying, hey, these folks who are out casting out demons in your name, they're not a part of our little group. They're not within our circle. So because they're not in our circle, they're not close followers with us, we think that they are against us. Yeah. But Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. Now, what Jesus was saying is because this person was casting out demons in the name of Jesus, that says something. This name of Jesus is a name that is not neutral. You're either going to be against that name or you're going to be for that name. You can't just sit on a fence when it comes to Jesus Christ. At some point, you're going to have to choose one way or another. Do I believe what he said about himself? Do I respond to him in faith? Or do I look at him as either a liar or a lunatic, a crazed religious man? Those are the options that we have before us. And obviously this person who was casting out demons in the name of Jesus recognized the authority of that name, recognized something about Jesus. And so he was attaching himself to the name of Jesus Christ. So he can't be against John and the other disciples. So Jesus was just pointing that out. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of people who are going around doing things in the name of Jesus, but they're doing so out of their own selfish ambition and for their own personal gain. They're false prophets. They are delivering a message that is different from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have the spiritual discernment to see that and to understand that. They are teaching something that is counter to the good news concerning Jesus. But here in this particular passage, this one was casting out demons in the name of Christ, and that's exactly what this gospel does. It sets people free from the forces of spiritual darkness, that demonic control that is out there in the world, and liberates them to experience all that Christ has come to bring.
Yes, indeed. Well, once again, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. Kind of hard to do without the number, huh?
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, we have this question from one of our YouTube viewers, actually from the Philippines. Alden asks, my Bible study participant is asking about physical blessings. How are they different from spiritual blessings in Christ? And he says, thanks for being my mentor and sharing the gospel here in the Philippines. And that is a wonderful question. And we have to realize that God is interested in our entire personhood. His salvation for us is total. It's complete. So we're first of all made alive in the spirit, and we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We see that in the book of Ephesians. We also see it in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we have been given everything that we need for life and godliness. So we have every spiritual blessing. We have forgiveness. We have a new identity. We have righteousness. We have new life. We have been made holy. We have the gift of God's Spirit as the seal, as a deposit, guaranteeing what's up ahead for us. Now, what's up ahead for us is something that's going to happen to us physically. We're going to get a physical body, a brand new physical resurrected body. It's not going to be like these physical bodies that we have now, but they are going to be physical in nature. We'll be able to eat, and we'll have a touch, and people can touch us and those sort of things. And how do we know that? Well, we have the resurrected body of Jesus as an example. They saw Jesus. They touched Jesus. Jesus ate with them. So we see some aspects of this resurrected body that we're going to get. So that's all a part of this salvation. Now we ask about our physical needs here on planet Earth, here within this life that we are living. Well, Paul says that God is going to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We see that in Philippians chapter 4, and it's a very important passage. So we know that God is going to take care of us. So if we have physical needs as far as food is concerned, guess what? That need is going to be met. We have physical needs as far as shelter and clothing and those sort of things. And it says that we can count on God to meet those needs. Now, where we get into trouble, Alden, is when we conflate needs with desires. We have desires. I don't want just a shirt. I want a special brand of shirt. I don't want just a vehicle that can get me from point A to point B. I want a special vehicle with the right label, the right brand on it. So sometimes we think our desires are really a need, and we have to realize, no, that's not true. And sometimes we just have to step back and say, hey, all of my life up to this very moment in time, there hasn't been a need that God hasn't met.
Absolutely.
I've been able to eat. I've had shelter. I've been taken care of. So we have to recognize that God is going to take care of those needs. Maybe it's through friends. Maybe it's through neighbors. Maybe it's through the body of Christ. Maybe it's through working, you know, utilizing our skills and desires and that sort of thing, and going to work and earning a wage. God put that into existence, and we can recognize that what we have is from the hand of God.
Yes, indeed. Friends, remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is free, but bringing it to the airwaves and online is an expensive endeavor, and it's only because you give so that others might hear, believe, and live in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get a chance, drop by BasicGospel.net and make a donation to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and keeping the good news coming. Just click Donate at BasicGospel.net. We'd love for you to partner with us. Again, that's BasicGospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Well, Bob, we had this question from Jason, who lives in Mooresville, Indiana. Says, why does Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us of our sins"? Aren't our sins already forgiven if we are born-again Christians? Is he talking about the sin of unbelief here?
Well, here's what he says. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we see a conditional nature to forgiveness in this particular passage. Right. We also see kind of old covenant, Mosaic law type of language. If then, if you do something, then God will do something. That's how the old covenant was structured. If you obey my statutes and my commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people. Well, I think Jesus is just driving that deeper into the very inner core of a person. Where is forgiveness going to emanate? Where is it going to bubble up from? It's going to bubble up from the heart. And what he's saying is, listen, this has to be from the heart. And it's one more kind of nail in the coffin of self-effort.
Yeah.
One more nail in that coffin of trying to make ourselves righteous through obedience to the law. Now, when we see the cross happening, after the cross, the language changes. For example, in Ephesians 4 and Colossians chapter 3, we see in both of those letters that the encouragement is for us to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. So this forgiveness that we have for others now flows from the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. What changed? Well, the cross. The cross changed everything. The cross put an end to the old, and it ushered in the new. And in this new covenant, our sins have been forgiven. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. John put it this way in his first letter, "I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. The blood was shed. The blood was shed once and for all. You received that forgiveness when you received Christ. And now, as a new covenant believer, knowing that God remembers your sins no more, extend this act of grace to others. Forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you."
Very quick question from a Florida listener. "As a new believer, I get confused about walking in the Spirit. What does that mean?"
Well, walking in the Spirit is really walking in truth. It is the opposite of walking by the flesh. So walking by the flesh, you're living to gratify the desires of the flesh. It's all for you. It's for your benefit, and you're not worried about whether you run over somebody or trample over somebody, just as long as you're getting your fleshly desires met. Walking in the Spirit is that freedom that you have where you can serve one another in love. Not indulge the flesh, but serve one another in love. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, to serve others through the love of Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that information. And friends, well, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, it's because of you that we are here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. We need your help, of course, now as always, to ensure the message of grace continues on the air and online. So donate now or anytime at BasicGospel.net. Again, that's BasicGospel.net, a big prominent donate link right on the homepage. Friends, the listener line is open around the clock for you. If you can't make the call during the live broadcast, and if you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.